Welcome to At the Crossroads Church weekly podcast. Our hope is that you will grow in your walk with God and be blessed and encouraged in your daily lives as you listen. You can visit us at our website at atthecrossroads.ca.
Is Bill Lake still here? Do we have Bill? There's my brother. He has a testimony for you. And for those of you who do not know Bill, Bill came in here 19 years ago and to this church, and he was on the dark side a bit. He was part of the occult, and he was part of the satanic church, and God pulled him out of that by the power of his spirit, and he's been in a discipleship process. God's been just working in him for 19 years, and I was sharing with the first service that he was known in the community as a troublemaker, and he... They literally had a cell that was his cell at the police station because he always, he went home. That was the second home. And but you know what? God can change a heart, you know? And from an angry, bitter man, God has done a great work. And so he went to his daughter's wedding yesterday and just wanted to give you a moment to share from your heart what she said to you, both your daughters and your granddaughters.
Yesterday, my daughter got married. We've been praying for all of our children to get married and come right before God. And thank God it's finally happened. But anyways, my daughter said to me that it was a real honor and a privilege to have me to walk her down the aisle. But before that, she said, if I would have been the way I used to be, she wouldn't have asked me to do so. But she said, she's seen God changed me. And she's changed my heart and that. And she said, because of the way I was changed, it was an honor for her to ask me to walk her down the aisle. And that started to really touch my heart. And then my other daughter said the same thing. My granddaughters turns right around and says to me, Grandpa, I remember things you said to me about being right and honoring Mom and respecting her. And she says, and other things you told me, she says, about God and that. She says, I don't forget. She says, but there's one thing. The day I got married, she said, I'd like you to walk me down too. And I almost cried there. But then my daughter said to me, right out plain, that she was just blown how I changed with my grandkids, with my children, and even with my wife. And she said that she's very proud that I came to be her dad, because she wasn't my birth daughter. She was my adopted daughter. And we had really bad feelings towards each other. But that changed yesterday. And it really touched me because she wanted me to be with her for that day. And that's the first time she's really opened up to me, to tell me she loved me. And she's so proud. And she said she could not believe how much God has changed me over the time. And I thank God that he came into my life, because without him, I wouldn't have my family the way they are right now. And I believe now, since they're all married, their salvation is next. They're coming to the Lord, and they're not going to stop until they come.
You said you danced with both your daughters at the same time.
Yes, I danced with both my daughters at the same time. That's hard to do.
I bet it is.
It's not easy. It just whirls you around.
Awesome. God is good. Isn't he good, our God? And he can change. If he did it for Bill, he can do it for each and every one of us. He's no respecter of persons. And his heart is for you. We need to know that. We just came through a powerful conference. How many were at the conference here? Let's see your hands. It was great. About half. That's awesome. It was a great conference with Be In Health. Pastor John and Claudio came down and just graced us with a great impartation of the word. And we have the pleasure of having him here this morning to share with you. Anyone here have a testimony from the conference? So just God just really, you know, I know this is a last minute thing and people get nervous, but if you have a testimony, God did something, come on up here. Who can do that for me here? Censors a few testimonies. Okay. All right. Well, they're going to come. Amen. So, but God is good. So we're going to, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking here because I want to give Pastor John some time to really share the word with us and bring an impartation of the scripture to us. So Pastor John, come on. Let's give him a hand as he comes to share the word.
Thank you. For those that weren't there yesterday, we missed you and we really had a great time. I received a lot just being able to participate. And we're from Claudio's in the back here. He's God rules and reigns. That's him right there. That's how he rolls. We're just the two of us, but from Thomaston, Georgia, and it's just south of Atlanta. But as an extension of the ministry, Be in Health, we greet you from Hope of the Generations Church to Crossroads Church, and we just love and have affection for your fellowship here. So it's great to get to know you, and the conference was very, it was such a privilege to be here and find such a warmth reception. And I don't think it was just Canadian hospitality. There was even more. It was of the hearts that were listening and engaging. It was just really precious. And God did a lot and shifted a lot for that I sensed in people's lives because there was a reception of the word. And so I felt this morning that to continue that now into the church, it's one message to bring a level of ministry at the ministry level and just find a lot of times people are sniffers, right? Yeah, I wonder if that's true. And it's good to engage at that level, you know, is this good or not? But at the church has is a body. And then we come together a little bit differently, gathering compared to yesterday. I mean, we are the believers, but there's more of a family element, and we got to get into family business. And the Word of God is what has birthed us, right? When you're born again, the Word of God birthed you. And today, I'm actually celebrating my seventh child's birthday, all the way from Canada. I have three boys, three girls, and then the tiebreaker is, so I've got 21 down to 11, and then I have a three-year-old. And so her three-year-old birthday, she's been reminding us for 6 months that she's going to turn three. She's a bright little kid, right? She's raised by a lot of other siblings, and they all love her. And so, as I was saying earlier, it was just really vivid. I remember being in the room at her birth. I cut all seven cords. I spoke to my children in the womb, and I spoke to them on the other side of the womb, right, just immediately, and just they made it, right? We had other children that we didn't. We had a couple miscarriages, and I'll get to know them, just like the scriptures say that to David, that we will see those children in heaven. But I remember just that eye engagement, and immediately her eyes just looking for connection. And so I've told my wife and my daughters this. I raised my sons a little differently based on their spiritual journey that they're on and the assignment that I see out of the Word. But I see that for my wife and my children, I spoke to their spirits and I said, and even at her birth, I still remember this and just looking right into her. You know, their whole head fits like right in there. It's amazing. And you look right in it and you just, and I told and I instructed all the females in my family, and I said, tell me everything. Tell me everything, whatever it is. Because that place of speech and being released to feel like it's okay if it doesn't even come out right. Our words have power to them. And so for my wife and daughters to feel that release, that it doesn't have to be perfect, but it's very spiritual to share your heart. And so I feel like in looking at how the Father sent the Word, He did share all of His thoughts through His Son. Everything humanity needed to know came by way of the Word. Now, the later in His life, the Word actually bled. The Word became flesh, and then the blood came. So the Word came first, and then the provision of everything culminated in the expelling of His blood, like done by sin. Sin put Him there, right? Sin made Him, the Word of God, end up being crushed for us. But we have to go... So back, reverse engineering, we look at the blood and we go back into, well, where'd that blood come from? It came from God the Word. It came from who He was before He became Jesus of Nazareth. And so I'm going to talk about the Word of God and how to walk with Him. Because I know we all want Jesus to show up here in this room, and I think He still is on mission to do stuff in certain cultures when He's so not invited, and He'll get behind enemy lines and manifest Himself. I've heard the testimonies. I love them. All the stuff going on in Iran and those beautiful testimonies. But we have been provided the Word of God in such volume that God is holding us accountable to walk in a faith and an engagement. Here's the key word, an engagement with the Word that's on a level, because too much has been given. The Scripture says, much is required. And so the Word of God is a person, and what does it mean to have so much abundance of the Word? And what is our role in it? So I look into Acts 17:11, and those that were noted, these people just went and were so proficient at this that it became like a highlight of their life, that even made it into Scripture, that the Bereans, that they received the Word of God, the Word with all readiness of mind. This doesn't mean they were intellectually Bible scholars, theologians. No, that didn't. Remember, it was ignorant and unlearned men and women that turned the world upside down. But what? How did they get to that place? We need to be turning this world upside down, don't we, as believers? In love and in truth. That is the weapons of our warfare, love and truth. And so this readiness of mind, I'm going to talk about how we have been provided so much of the Word, but there's at times, even after being born again, being in the Word for a long period of time, I'm telling you, this is a daily battle against principalities and powers and the evil spirits that come to draw and diminish, it's not a total wipeout, but diminish a believer's role in the earth. And we have to look at the instructions of God's Word in our life. So these individuals, this is what God honored, that they received the Word of God even before they read it. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst for what is God going to say next? Well, sometimes we want other people to deliver that for us. You want to know a sure word? read your Bible. That's a prophetic word right there. Read it. But sometimes the devil knows there's so much opportunity and authority and love. The Word of God is love. There's so much love in the Word that he literally comes to a believer in order to diminish their engagement, their response, their readiness. So it's okay to look at your readiness meter. Like you check the meters on your car, right? Like, how's my gas? And okay, is the heating up? Whoa, low on Freon. Check the meter out in your readiness about your position towards the Word. And right away, I know I'm touching on, because I've had this myself, and I have to check it myself, the guilt button. All right, I'm going to talk about the guilt and the shame of like, I'm a believer, and that feeling like, can we move on from this? No, those spirits can move on from this topic. They can move on from your life, and you can have your peace about engaging with the Word. We got to cut through the guilt as believers, as like, why is this not functioning? Why don't I feel like this is for me? And so, don't you love how flies come to people that are talking? Is that not like a pattern? Like somehow they are attracted to microphones? Anyway, I wonder why that is. How about y'all start talking? Maybe they don't go to you. I don't care about flies. But I find that is very fascinating. They received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things be so. So it wasn't like a debate, like, I'm going to out to prove God, or I don't think so. There can be some schools of thought that, like, how can I disprove the Scriptures? That's not what they were doing. This was like, what do we need? What is this manna? What is this fresh thought? You know, thoughts come in many forms. I'm giving you thoughts right now. You know, you having thoughts right now in your own head. Like, what's for lunch? You're wondering about that relationship. You're wondering what people think of you. Those are thoughts that are invisible. And then you have thoughts from heaven. You need as many as possible for the direction of your life. I'm telling you, these days are numbered, folks. These days have a limitation on them. I'm not just talking about when we fly away. I'm talking about the spirituality of humanity is coming, and the pressures are here. They're called birth pangs. And when I say I really remember the intensity and the touch and go about birth, and my wife had all natural births. They were very spiritual. And I learned again a lot by observing how she spiritually trusted God in the birthing process, and watching how she even understood about longitudinal muscles, when they fire, when latitudinal muscles in the womb, when they do their thing. And I had to guard her from a spirit of fear. Because when a spirit of fear of like pain starts coming, it locks up those muscles, and then they just don't want to do what the body was meant to do. So I was kind of like her spiritual doula. Because I learned from that the Word of God, you have to fight for these blessings. The Word of God will birth you. The Word of God will, well, He'll birth you into salvation. When you understand how the Word thinks, speaks, and acts, it will launch something else into your life that maybe you just don't know it's there until you engage with new thoughts. The Scriptures talk about that there are many thoughts, none without signification. That just is King Jimmy for saying all your thoughts, even down to what's for lunch, has a significance to them. Well, that's a lot of inventory. Someone's, you know, people that study thought, like psychologists, they'll say that you have about 25 thoughts per minute. Now, I think that's on average. Like, and it's all the way down to, like, how long is this going to be? You know, what's he talking about? Where's he going? I think women have about twice that, from what I understand. And, gentlemen, that's for you to make room in your heart to understand what's all inside there and to hold it. It doesn't mean you have to always do something about it, but their thoughts. Don't resist them. Don't feel like you have to combat them or always say something. But just, you know why? Because I've learned my wife responds to me, and I am in the midst, in the spiritual sense, I'm a wife unto the Lord. God wants me to do some talking. He wants me to talk to him. But if I don't know his thoughts on how to have a conversation with him, I kind of shut down. I just kind of end up on my own. So these thoughts and reading the Word of God with readiness, willing. So the reason why I did that to my wife and my daughters is I wanted to earn their trust in connecting whenever I needed to say something, that they would already have, I would already have earned that place in their heart. Well, this two-way conversation. Conversation takes two people. It's hard to talk to a wall and really feel like you're getting somewhere. So you know that God's listening and he's hearing, providing that you understand his engagement for you. If you're ready to engage with him and talk with you, then this is an adventure. So buckle up. God the Father loved his Son, right? He absolutely was just, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I love my Son, and I'm sending him as a word. He's a messenger, an ambassador, like all these parables. They just, so, but God loves his word. In Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship towards thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, I've blown up your word above all thy name. You know, Jesus has a lot of names. Jehovah this, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sikenu, Jehovah, I don't even know them all. And then he's all, but when he came in John chapter 1, they just called him the Word. So all that was compiled, all those mysteries of like all those natures and facets, it's like the largest diamond in the world. If you can just put it like right here, and each one of you from, even if you're sitting real close to each other, your angle of seeing this amazing diamond would be different from the person sitting next to you. I mean, that's how the Word of God needed to be described over in all these facets. So when he literally came as a being that had blood in him, he did not break his own word. He literally obeyed his own words that he spoke out in the Old Testament. That's pretty fascinating. If I was God, I'd be like, I don't know if I want to put up with these loud mouths and how can I just get rid of them? No, he obeyed all the rules of the law, even about how to deal with enemies. He engaged with them the right way. So he honored his, it says he honors his word above his name. No one can make themselves the exception, because God, Jesus, did not make himself the exception. He didn't cheat. He didn't pop those nails off the cross and say, I don't know about this, Father. He did what the Father asked him to do. So anyway, my point is that he honored his word. He followed. He had to obey. You know the scriptures that it says that Jesus learned obedience? Is that not like a mind bender? Like, he's the one that provided the law. How can, why did he have to learn anything? Wasn't it automatic? For him, he still had to suffer in all these temptations and was tried, but he learned obedience. He learned how to trust the Father, not because he had defects in him and sin. You can't validate that in Scripture. But I find that very fascinating that that's what we do. We must learn obedience. And if he's not physically here, what voices are you listening to? I know there's a concept in the New Age world that they're looking for their spirit guide. How do I, you know, create some chakras and listen to the next, you know, voice and whatnot? But we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Spirit of all. We just need one who's holy. And he will help. He wants to facilitate your engagement with the Word. He's not going to do it apart from you, but he wants to help you if there's a resistor in between your spirit and the Father of your spirit. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The Father of all spirits wants to download directly to you. And that you only get the Father if you're born again. But at times, because maybe you grew up in a home or in just kind of let things slide in your relationship, we need to remind ourselves. I'm telling you, we're going to need to remind ourselves again the authority and love of God's Word. And at times, even to believers, there are evil spirits that come in between in that spiritual relationship and slow it down. They slow down our understanding of what the Father thinks, how the Word speaks, and how we should act. God has not given us a... But listen to this. Power is of the Holy Spirit. Love is of the Father. Here we go. Sound mind is of which member of the Godhead? God the Word who became Jesus. This is very precious, folks. And so when he sent his Word, it was a powerful Word. Let's look at there's all kinds of other writings out there in the world, right? Like there's all kinds of other spiritual leaders. Those are dead guys. And it's amazing of some of the writings of some dead guys. We have a live guy. We have a live Son of Man. He made it through death, and his Father raised him back to life to represent that his words are high above all the dead guys. We even sang, his word is a better word, higher than the dominions that are in this world. So when we sing this, now we're learning to apply it. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper, and a two-edged sword. Any knife guys here? Any guys like carrying knives or just like kitchen knives? Sharp kitchen. You like a dull knife or you like a sharp knife? Sharp it. I've had both. I've had dull and I've had sharp. And dull, I'm just telling you, you just want to throw it against the wall with no one back there. You know, just it's like, urgh. I bought a sharpener. I've been just starting to sharpen my favorite knife because I just cut boxes and just dumb stuff, right? But if it's not sharp, I'm kind of irritated at it. God's word is of spirit, and his word will come in. It would have been kind of rough if I had to cut the umbilical cord with a dull scissor, just like crunch, crunch. Can we? But I was amazed. You just, beep, that thing is gone. Like, you, welcome to the world. I love birthing rooms. My wife's birthing, I'll put it that way. I love that all of you were born. You all were in a womb once. But the Word of God births you, and he needs to cut away stuff that is still in your life. And that those spiritual log jams, or scripture calls them dead works, let's call it sin. Sometimes we've just didn't know we're serving it. The Word of God has a relationship with you. And I'm wanting here to foster or just like exhort you. I want you to get into a word to let it, you open up to it. Readiness of mind. I open. I open to the quickness, the sharp work, the skill that the Holy Spirit uses the word in tandem. It's amazing. There's two members of the Godhead to deliver the Father to you. The skill of the Word of God to get into your spirit and then use a, you can only apply what you have tucked away. And the more that you've opened, I'm just holding my arms up because it's, I'm just trying to understand, you can't guard yourself from God's ongoing work of surgery in your life. Because this is where your spirit is, right? You got your mind, but your spirit works in function of that, and it needs attention. We're to sanctify body, soul, and spirit, and so the Word of God is your helper to cut away stuff that's still there. And it says it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There's your, like, oh, is this a feeling or is this a spirit? Is it, you know, you can't follow just your feelings. And so God uses his word to start cutting away, like, what is real and what's just my long-term memory? What is just an emotional battle? Like, no, I can think past my emotions. You are more than just your emotions. It's a trap to think that everything has to be emotional. It's a trap. Now, let the emotions serve you as you renew your spirit, your mind, and your emotions get purified. You're not driven by just impulse. So this dividing is really important. It's a deliverance. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, your good Father in heaven. And then it goes on to say, deliver us from evil. I know, being, you know, hell is definitely evil, but there are things that are in our life that need dividing, deliverance, that are not, that are assigned. It's sometimes temptation becomes then a sin. And that, we know that temptation is an evil spirit, right? Why would we think any differently when we finally participate with that temptation to think that it's not a sinful being still in our life anymore? It still needs to be removed. Whether it's a temptation, it's not you, right? So an evil spirit, when you find, when we, if we go into a sin, that needs to get cut out. The Word of God is quick, and it even goes down to the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever want your mail read? You want someone to read your mail, right? You know what I mean? It's like someone that loves and is going to watch you. Well, the Word of God reads even your heart. And that takes some vulnerability. If people haven't been kind in your, that space towards your heart, the Word of God heals that. The Word of God is your servant. Sometimes, some of us have been maybe exposed to, well, you know, they threw a lot of word at me, and really it ended up feeling accusational or religious towards you. That was not God's problem. That was one of those interferences to actually get you out of the Word. You got to forgive those people. If that's you, and the Word of God was used harshly and in control, then you've got to forgive, because that wasn't even God. That wasn't even really them. It was something spiritual. So God actually wants this quickness. Quickness to come, to minister to you. It's, he wants to minister to your physical body. That's why it talks about joints and marrow. He wants to, the Word of God will minister to all three parts of you. It goes on to say in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of whom we have to do. Those creatures are evil spirits. So why is God telling us that the Word of God will expose evil spirits? Because we need discernment. We need discernment about evil spirits. And the more that we understand not just who God is, but we understand the battle of these other beings that are discerned, reading the scriptures will facilitate spiritual discernment in your life. You begin to have spiritual eyes into your life, and then as you learn to use it mercifully and kindly, you begin to see other people and maybe where the enemy is working in them. And you'll have eyes of compassion with truth to see other people. Why do they do the things they do? Oh, they're being held captive. It's just that area of their life. It's not like they're the devil himself, but they have something in their life that is in making them in fear, reducing who they really are from the foundation of the world. And so I want to talk about vision versus peripheral vision. You're a spirit. You can only see so much. Literally, my five physical senses cannot see into the spirit realm. I can't. But it's around here. It's God, his angels, devils, you know, fallen angels, all of them are all somewhere invisibly. And so by example, our physical vision is a very narrow band. Anybody know the percentage? Study the eyeball. I don't know exactly. It's like 20%. I was surprised. And really, your peripheral vision doesn't quite do a 180, but it working properly, it's really, as I'm looking like at the clock or something, it's really just that board in the back. And everything else is really just made up by my brain. But your brain, like everything you just, if you concentrate and think about, okay, what's my peripheral? You don't see exactly clearly what's right to your, you know, immediately to your left or your right. It's a fascinating how your brain fills in that space. God has done that. When it's working properly, it's powerful. When you add the Word of God, you see more in your understanding. It's a spiritual understanding about spiritual things. You're first a spirit. And so I read the Word of God to see what is his perspective. Really, heaven looks down on humanity and has the perfect view of this planet. We need to get the mind of Christ and his thoughts put on, the scriptures talk about, put on the mind of Christ. Put it on. That means read the word. There are evil spirits that don't want you to read the word. I'm just bringing it right down, basic, let's confront this stuff. Let's even start turning against that stuff. Let's say, I'm not your slave anymore. However you shut me down, I am not your servant. Because Paul talks about in, I think it's 2 Timothy, that those that are held captive to the devil, and these are talking about believers, there are certain areas of our life we may be held captive. And if it's in the reading of the Word of God, in the engagement, and then let's go to work. We don't know what's happening 5 minutes from now. But the Father, God the Word, and the Holy Spirit know all things. And so you got to plant and have a plan of attack, a readiness of mind to say, okay, God, I'm going to take this 1 week at a time. I got to build a plan. I got to make an attack or a position of, it's not just build your schedule. Like, I'll give you a testimony. When I was really convicted, I was already, you know, doing some ministry stuff, but I'm starting to have kids. And I just kind of got in the rut of taking care of young kids, three in diapers, right? Like, I got my excuse why I'm not getting up and reading the word, because I'm changing diapers, right? I'm the diaper dad. And I'm the poop checker, right? I do that. I just let my wife take on the other ones. And so I'm wearing this badge of, like, I'm doing my thing. I'm taking care of the home. And then we just went weeks and months, and we felt this almost like a gentle pain inside of us. Like, I miss the word. I miss what the word had brought us and where it had taken us to a level. And then we just felt convicted and say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. She kind of pressed into it, and I said, yeah, I repent. I repent for not getting and pushing into this and confronting some stuff. And so I said, let's go to bed. Let's wake up a little bit earlier. And I just repent, Father, for not engaging in your word. Sure enough, I set my alarm for 5:30. 5:25, knock, 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 little baby at the door. Daddy! Something, something. I'm like, no way. This is not happening. How did my child know that I just made a spiritual decision? Did I spank the child? No, of course not. It's not the child's fault. There are things that come to oppose. So I was like, okay, sweetheart, I'm sorry. I'll take care of the baby. You spend time in the Word. I'll go take care of this. It's like, and then day two, same exact thing. Like, our children never wake up that early, right? And by day two, that's when I understood. Okay, there are spirits that are trying to mess with me in this engagement. I want engagement. I want the Word. I want to hear Him, but it's not my child's fault. So I spoke to that thing. I spoke to not, it was just what was going on in our home. And I said, I take responsibility for this thing being in our home, and I tell it to leave. Leave my children alone. The circumstance, I can't be harsh and say, go back to bed. Then how is that like really representing the word to them? So I took authority, and by day three, they're sleeping like babies. We finally get into this, you know, having to get our bodies going and, you know, a new pattern. And it feels kind of like fasting when you have to reset. But it's a spiritual problem first. It's not just, I'm going to build my schedule differently, because there are things that resist. Now, the Word of God is important, and enough to where He commanded. He made a commandment. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. How much is all? What's the percentage? 100%. And with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so all thy might was like 5:30 in the morning. I got to get... But there is something very sensitive that comes in the morning. There's something even biologically and neurologically. There's a sensitivity there that's like the nothing else, like the rest. I'm just saying, you like fresh bread smells in the morning, right? Well, your brain works differently in that wakening. God just puts it there so you utilize it to be a little more in tune to that fresh manna that's ready to just gobbled up in the morning. Anybody salivating over bread right now? That bread at the conference yesterday, I don't know what it was, but I loved it. They did good on that. Anyway, enough on that. And these words, which I command you this day, shall be where? in your heart. Where is your heart? It's in you. It's not just your ticker down in there. You're more than just your biology. The heart of who you are gives rise to everything else. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them, and thou shalt, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So there's an instruction, and this is even before they had the living word. He was the word from heaven. He was at Mount Sinai. He gave the Ten Commandments. Well, he actually developed the 613, but the 10 famous. He was the lawgiver, and Moses was the receiver. Well, hello, Moses out there. All of you are Moseses of to receive, particularly gentlemen in the home, to lovingly implement the instructions of God for your home. But it's not going to come because you just want it to. In fact, I know that this is a spiritual problem because when all of Israel was invited up to Mount Sinai, y'all remember that? All of them. And they all said, Moses, you go for us. So that's why the word had to come down and be one of us. All of us have something in us that resists. You know, Moses, you do your thing. We'll go huddle off and make a false god real quick. We all have iniquity that wants us to avoid engagement with the word. We all have it. It's just an honest spiritual statement, an assessment. And so you have to attack that iniquity and not avoid it. Avoidance doesn't work. In fact, that's how the enemy works even greater, is in avoidance. So the word of God will show you the next steps for your life. It, like, I'm going to keep pushing on this guilt button and this, okay, I'm not doing it, but I want to keep separating you from possibly spirits that have, you just didn't know they were there. Because there is a planned event to keep you out of the word. So finally, when you're just stirring yourself up and having a hunger for his word again, just buckle up that there might be some dudes, spirits that you're going to have to say, I'm done with you. I'm not serving you anymore. I've repented of you. And we're going to have a time of ministry at the end where if there's a spirit in particular that you're saying, it could be there, then we're going to try that spirit so that you could come to peace and have a further, wherever you're at right now, a further love of the word. That's all we want. As pastors, sheep that feed themselves, that's a delight. Like, and that makes a healthy grouping of fellowship. Like, it's precious when we're all loving one Lord, one faith, you know, coming into that oneness that's based on him and not like, well, you do it my way. No, we're all going to do it his way. But there has to be an agreement here. And what did the devil first do when he came to all of humanity, Adam and Eve? He first challenged the authority of not who they were, but of who the word was, the word that was given to them, the one verse Bible. Did God really say? See, that's the attack. Attack the word, attack it. And believers, you've been given by the blood of Christ access to a risen. He was always the word of God. He never left that place. You have God the word in your life, and you've got to know what he's thinking and where he's directing you. So the enemy has a planned event to keep you out of the word. You have to say yes to God and have a planned event to re-engage or engage further into the word beyond your own understanding. The word of God, when you read it, there's spirits that could actually intellectualize what God has said. And you won't see the spirit of it. it wants you to just have mental assent and maybe be intellectually converted. Like, okay, I got, and that's a good place to start, is let your mind engage. But I'm telling you, at some point, there are spirits that resist it going down in there, and all of a sudden, it just changes you from the inside out. There's a lot of, God has a lot of mercy, but the laws are, is that we can't just let our minds be the only thing that's renewed. It must wash us. So God loves his word. His word is alive, and he instructed it as an act of obedience. Like, we need to implement even into the next generation. Now, here comes the tricky part. A lot of, you know, the generational patterns of iniquity, they usually get the attention and not the word of God. So sometimes you've been raised in a very harsh position and expression of how the word works. It could be that there's a religious implementation of his word. And you know what? You got to forgive those people. You can't just sit and say, well, I'm this way because of them. Father, forgive them. Right now, we just say in our hearts, Father, we forgive them. They know not what they do. Because we have to get past any human that maybe we just didn't understand. Sometimes there's confusion on us to not understand what's being delivered. And we feel like we're so rejected and we don't see the ultimate delivery and the love behind it. So you've got to let go of those that have misrepresented the word, or maybe your own misunderstandings, and re-engage. There's a study done, over 100,000 people, over 8 years. The study you can find online, it's pretty amazing. But they did an open survey just asking about how people engage with the Bible. 4.7 Bibles are in the homes of North Americans. I don't know what they're doing with the 0.3. Like, but on average, there's over 4 Bibles in a home. So we're not lacking Bibles. And then, this was done about 10 years ago, put the internet on top of that, you know, and all these apps that are pretty quite easy to use and very functional. I think it's even a lot higher than when you think about it. So, but it's not Bible ownership that's the problem, although that used to be several hundred years ago. Bible ownership was hard to find, and people died to get one. Literally suffered because of the persecution for simply teaching some of the basics. Human blood, we're impressed, right? Like, humans would die to get the Bible to us. That's the kind of mission they were on. Well, they only were a miniature version of the Word of God dying, right? They were just a human, you know, testimony of what heaven had done for us. The Word of God became flesh and died for us. It's an expensive word that we have the living scriptures in our lives. And we are rich, folks, that we even have access to it. Now, that doesn't stop the devil, though. I wish it did, right? Don't you? Like, I wish it would make it a lot easier to open my Bible and understand this. So it's not ownership, it's readership. And this study doesn't take it into the spirit realm. And so I'm using their research to actually get into the spirit of who you are. And if there is an interference or a kingdom messing with you to keep you from taking in, then I think we can deal with stuff today and put that stuff out, put it out of your hearts, and then you can go into your week with a different heart, different position, different love, like an increased love for his word. You want that affection again, right? The love of many will wax cold in the end times. You've got to have a planned event. How am I not going to grow? How am I not going to be one of those stats? So if there's an evil spirit that's been messing with you, possibly, we want to minister that God has a way to speak to you about any situation in your life, financially, health, you know, relationally, just your salvation, all of it. So when I keep talking about engagement or apprehension or when you assimilate the word, when you munch on it, when you chew it up like a cow, you're kind of slow eaters, right? And then they burp it back up again, and they chew it on it again. So they got four stomachs, right? Like just munching up. They got big teeth anyway, but why do they? It's a term. You have to got to chew on the word of God until you can process it for what does it mean? And you feel like it starts becoming your thoughts. That's what's so special about the word. He wants to be that integrated, that close to your heart so that your mind, literally, it becomes like, these are my thoughts now. That's having the mind of Christ. So sometimes, I mean, I'm not even going to say what kind of reading plan you need to be on or just what. I'm just saying be a chewer. It makes you a doer. It will eventually change your conduct. Even your emotions will get the adjust. I'm telling you, even your physical body will respond. I've seen it. I've applied it. It's a precious work. And it's a resource right at our hands. In this study of 100,000 people, they looked at the number one excuse. Again, this was a free form, and they let people just write in. And the number one, 51%, of 100,000 people, so 51,000 people said the big thing that messes with their time to engage with the word is that they were too busy. I'm going to take that information and I'm going to take it that there are, that if there's a spirit behind making us too busy, we got to do inventory. Be still and know that I am God. The scriptures already tell us that's part of the battle. What does it mean to process his words? Don't feel like you have to know it all or just, you know, have the fire hose of God's word or I never went to school for it. You know what? Ignorant and unlearned men turn the world upside down. They didn't even have copies to get a scroll. Only the priests had it. By the way, this is why it was really important for them to speak in the language of the Spirit early on in the church. And I don't think that it should ever have gone away. Praying in the Spirit facilitates your understanding of the word. I mix it. I'm telling you, it's like making a cake. You got to add in all this stuff to make something really awesome. And so as I'm reading the word of God, sometimes I don't know what to do with it, and I'll process it by praying in the Spirit. It's really special because that makes it a really relational thing. So as they did the research and they watched people enter into this engagement of the word, they watched not only, like, are they reading more, but they watched also things of sin in their life drop off. Pornography, lying to other people, being angry. It's amazing stuff. 8 years, you can get a lot done with 100,000 people. And they saw that these vices in people's lives, just by engaging in the word, diminished. That's a really cool study. These people care about the word of God being in their lives. I just think that when When you add into this the deliverance and adding in particular possible spirits that are a part of the equation, then God's people have got to have a breakout. They've got to have a breakout. In these days like this, people are so dull of hearing of the Word of God that maybe they're even believers, but they're going to look to people that have a spirit to them that's holy, that's clean, that's been washed, and some people are just going to notice and say, what do you have? It's going to be the Spirit and the Word that's the answer, that they can also have a relationship with both. But that light in your eyes is going to be critical as even a simple form of evangelism. People are going to need to see there is something in you. Just by your appearance, and some of them will really be drawn to the Lord because the way that you carry yourself. It's going to come because you're walking with the Word. The walk is important. When I go with my wife places, we're kind of boring. We don't go totally like to all the amazing places. We just like to walk in some place new. And I remember going to Scotland with her, and we just said, in Scotland, I don't know if you know this, the whole country has this saying that it's, you have the right to roam. So there's no laws that say you have to be respectful, but you can roam anywhere you want to go. So there's like no, even hopping of fences, like we did it. We ended up in this sheep field, and I'm sure it doesn't make the farmers happy, but we had a right because the whole country had a right to roam. We just went walking, and we felt like we were part owners in everywhere we put our foot. Like, we felt like we knew, God started talking to us, but we also enjoyed talking to each other, and all of a sudden, like, this pheasant would fly up right in front of us, like, whoa! We would have never seen this if we went walking. Didn't go walking. We just sat and vegged or, you know, didn't get up and go. I'm just using it as an example that you don't have to get off and start literally walking, but when you read the Word of God, it's like a walk. It's like you're having Him come alongside and you're hearing where He wants to take you. So what does it mean to engage with the Word of God? It means you're receiving. You take time to reflect on what you heard, and then you respond. You receive the Word of God. That's even before you read it. When you read it, you reflect upon it. That's the chewing of the cud. Yum. Well, that bite was a little different. And then you respond. It may not even be right away. You just say, Lord, I'm going to tuck this away. What would you like me to do in response to what you just said? And you leave it open. So those three R's, receive, reflect, and respond, is how we engage. That's the processing. It's very simple. And like I said, I'm going to add into this that there may be a spirit. Now, I grew up as an ankle biter, knowing the Lord. I got saved when I was about 5. My mom was there, and she recorded my little John prayer when I got born again. That's when I saw that I responded, and I was thankful. I wrote in my prayer, I repent for my sins, and I said, I thank you that I can confess my sins, which is really interesting to what I do now, is like teach the repentance. Just really enjoy that we can confess sin without guilt. The Word of God is going to convict you, but you can confess that without guilt. The blood of Christ is not to make you more guilty. It's to wash you. He's a washer. When you apply it, you can't just claim it and not do anything about it. And so the Word of God will renew your mind and at times may convict you. Well, I was attempting to just get more Word in my life, and it was working, but there was an... I'm just going to give you my experience with this. I was trying so hard, but there was a visitor, a spiritual visitor of guilt and shame. And so many times I would read the Word and literally I felt worse after reading it. I'm just being honest. I felt worse because I read certain words that I didn't line up. And that was going on for a while. In fact, I tried to make it work and try to keep reading, try to punch through that. But because of this particular spirit of just my perspective of how God was, I was raised sometimes improperly. I thought the Word of God was more to make sure I didn't do wrong. Really, the Word of God is to help you know what to do in recovery. The Word of God is your servant. It's not a weapon. It's a weapon against the devil, but it's a sword to help clean you up. You got to receive it as a servant. The Word of God is He came and was the greatest of all servants. So the Word of God is to serve you daily. You open tomorrow. Will you wait? Thank you for serving me. I want to hear what a servant has to say. And this is powerful because He's Lord, but those that are greatest among you are those that serve. Jesus was the greatest servant of all by the laying of His life down. So when you open up the Word, you apply the Word, you still respect it. I'm not discounting that He's Lord, but He's also become our servant. You have to let Him minister to you. You have to let Him serve you in what you need next. He's not going to browbeat you. He's not going to whack a sledgehammer over your head. And that's an unhealthy relationship between you and God, if that's the perspective. And I'm saying these things because if there is an irritation in your heart, that's not even you. It's something that is plugging and disconnecting how truth and mercy work in your life. Psalm 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with the whole heart." He really likes us when our whole heart's engaged, right? I can't say that my whole heart is always engaged. I want it to be. I'm telling you, I honestly know what's in there, and I want it. I want my heart to be whole. I want it to seek the Lord with all my mind. I'm working on it, but I can't let it get lazy. That would just be a temptation, right? That would be a temptation to be passive. I'm giving you definitions, words, things that you may want to say, I particularly repent for that identity of a spirit that might be tempting me and drawing me into disengaging. So it says in verse 3, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." I don't know what His ways are unless I have read about them or listened to them. I like listening to the Word of God. Sometimes I have taken a whole book of the Bible and I literally copied it with my hands. Like I made my own copy. Why? I just needed to attack those thoughts and the things that would want to slow me down. And it was amazing. It was like chewing cud by copying. It's not plagiarism. It increased my affection and my desire to know what the words are. And so there's a resistance. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early I want to seek you. But it says, early will I seek you. Now that's a want versus will. At some point, you got to pull the trigger. Some point, you got to let that sharp sword come and serve and minister and speak and help you get out of bed. God, I can't do it my own. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I'll say this again. I said this earlier. The youth, they found in this study that youth, when they put these three R's to the work, receive, reflect on, and respond to. And you could keep like a little pattern of like what you're processing. Some people like to journal or whatever, but you know, what's the scripture? What have you observed about it? What's the application? And then pray. Like, pray about what you just read. Respond to it. And they found that youth that were tracking and being honest about some spiritual things in their life, they saw that their response in this of turning their hearts towards God and the spiritual things in their life fell off even faster when they engaged with the Word of God. So this is it's past your own understanding. Like the Lord said even to, or Paul said to Timothy, it's like, don't let people despise your youth because it's such a valuable, flexible season of your life. And then when you get the Word mixed in there, he directs. We already sang about the direction of our life and that God gives us this. But you all have a closet. You all have some place in your life. You are the temple of the Most High. Like, His Spirit rests in you. But give Him something to talk to you about. There's a reason why they had kept all the scrolls in there. And because the Word is supposed to be contained inside you. So I have in my heart to pray that if there's anything spiritually blocking you, I think we should have the mercies of God this morning to put to flight 10,000. Are we in agreement? We don't want any evil spirit messing with our time with the Word. And so we're in agreement that if there's an interference at the spirit level, I want God to do a work to just take us, and it's more humility, really. Humility's free. We don't actively, it just naturally pursue it. But the Lord already represented the highest action of humility by becoming one of us. We are required in return to become more like Him. But I don't want devils that you can't see because maybe you've inherited them, maybe because maybe in your heart, you know you don't want to be cold, but you don't know what to do to stop it. And sometimes it's just an unloving spirit, or maybe as I put the spirit, sometimes I've listed, I'm going to put out there, an antichrist spirit. That's how serious I needed to be about this topic. Now, I know there's the big guy. We know he's coming. He's the beast, right? But you know, the scriptures talk about that there are many that have already come. There are many antichrist spirits. And I think there's a lot of even other angels that have messed with humanity, that they knew God, they knew the Word of God, and they rebelled. So they were against Him. Now, Antichrist doesn't mean like completely evil black. It really means an angel of light. It means he's a different version of who Christ is, but he's completely dark by his conclusion. And so when I challenged or test the spirit from my own heart, I was so grateful that God lifted off this confusion in my heart and this double-mindedness. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to be in the Word, but we're not doing it. That is not you. That is something shutting you down to limit you. And when that thing's gone, you become more single-minded towards the Word of God. So you should have some relief from these things, but it's by way of repentance. God engages with the legal transaction of repentance. You're not guilty, folks. He doesn't see you as guilty. He has to talk to us about the guilt, but he does not see you that way. And so our agreement with guilt has got to be confessed. Those that can confess with the mouth is literally attacking the spirit realm that's been messing with us. So your mouth is very important. I'm telling you, it's not just for food. It is for, as sons and daughters of God, we use our mouth for many things that belong back to Him. So I want to pray. Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." He basically took Deuteronomy 6 and made a song out of it. You can do with that with like the law transferred and finessed it into an expression from the heart. So if your heart's there and you're like, yep, I want to tune up. That's all this is. If you don't have a Bible, I'm pretty sure this is a fellowship that'll get you one. Because we don't want anything logistically or spiritually standing between you and the Father of your spirit. The Word of God came in and stood in that place, but He's not going to do your sonship on your behalf. He's not going to do all your spiritual work for you. He is your great provider to take you to the Father so that you can walk with your own Father in heaven. You walk with the Word, you walk with the Father. You get the Word, you get the Father. So if there is other spirits, and it's a whole other topic where they came from, but they're just fallen sons, and they're trying to mess with the sons of God, I say no. You got to say no. You got to say no to some of these iniquities that the Scriptures tell us that by your Word, he purges iniquity from us. So I want to give you a moment to do inventory if there's anything in particular. Maybe, and then a lot of occultism actually generates an antichrist position against the Word. It'll give it lip service, but it won't let it go down where you know you need it. Maybe you inherited some of that stuff. It's not you. So we're doing inventory here this morning because you didn't come to church for, you know, just to tick the box, right? Like, you come here to be changed. But why just leave it for an hour? We've got to look into, I want to be changed daily. Like, let's get this momentum. Let's just push our lives so that we become more and more like the Son of God. And so the Word of God will go with you, but the engagement, Remember, receive with all readiness of mind. Already look forward to, when you go to bed tonight, this is a strategy. You say, Father, I receive the word that you're going to prepare overnight like fresh bread. I look forward to tasting it in the morning. I can't wait to get up and get it. I'm going to slather some butter on it. I'm going to munch. I just want it. I want to know what you're preparing overnight. I'm going to go to sleep in peace. But I want to have a growing affection for your word. He's a person before he's ever text. And so I'll give you just a moment to see if there's anything in particular you want to repent for that's come in this conversation. All we're trying to do is remind you of the things that should just, you're not guilty. Repent of guilt, right? If there's an inherited antichrist or a cultic spirit that shuts your heart down, just in your heart, say, Father, I repent. I repent for resisting your son at this level. It's not all the parts of your life. You know, you've opened your heart somewhere to him. But if there's a portion of your life that doesn't want him.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our message. If you are in the Quinte West area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning at 24 Dundas Street West, Trenton, Ontario. Check out our service times on our website at thecrossroads.ca.